We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hour three of the Gabe Kuhn Show coming at you hot and heavy from 92.9 FM ESPN. And joining me now via the phone line is Parker Fleming. He is a contributor to Grizzlies. Media in general through his own Substack, Substack Elitist. Make sure that you go check it out. It's a free Substack, and all support goes to St. Jude. He is on X at Paka underscore Flocka. Parker, what's the word, man? How's it going?
Dude, Gabe, what's happening? You know, it's a Monday. It's daylight savings time. You know, I was so happy yesterday.
Sprung forward.
I was so happy watching the sunset at 7:30. It felt so good, but on the contrary, though, my body still adjusting to it, as it will probably this week. I overslept for my morning lift, so like that kind of messed up the flow a little bit. But you know what? Everything's all good, and it's a new week, and I'm excited to be on the Gabe Kuhn Show.
Let me guess, you overslept it by about an hour. Is that what happened? We sprung forward Saturday into Sunday?
Yeah, so I set my alarm for 6:25, and I woke up at 8.
Oh, okay.
So about an hour and a half.
Yeah. The biorhythms are all off. I understand. I completely understand.
Yeah.
I know I'm the same way. I'm the same way to a certain extent. Now, holler at me, man. What have you been up to? I know that we watched the Grizzlies go 0-2 over the weekend, so we're looking into draft prospects and everything else. Where do you find your work for Substack Elitist and you know, your coverage of the Grizzlies? Where do you find it gravitating toward? Obviously, night to night, it's hard to break down the games, predict what's going to happen. But I know that there's a lot of predictions and discussion about what's going to happen coming up this offseason and mostly in the NBA draft.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, right now, you know, I'm just kind of, I want to say keeping it light, but I guess keeping it fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been doing home game recaps, but as far as like features and stuff go, you know, I'm trying to really just take like one feature a week or so instead of doing like 1-2, just try to put more work on that and make it fun. I know Drew Hill, Daily Memphian, wrote about Luke Kennard and his pledge to St. Jude, $50 for every three made.
Yep.
And so, you know, he had a great piece on that. And, you know, with me doing my work for Substack Elitist, St. Jude, I want to talk about that, but also about the historic company that Luke Kennard has been putting himself in this season with his body of work over the past three seasons. Because if you really dive into it, it's been really cool stuff. But, I mean, doing a lot more draft stuff. Mm-hmm. Last week, I watched Eve Missy play Kansas.
Our guy.
Dominated Hunter Dickinson. Our guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Watched the battle between Donovan Clingan and Oso Iguodala.
Mm-hmm.
With UConn and Marquette. And then tonight I have the rewatch of the Kentucky-Tennessee game that – was certainly fun to see Reed Shepard and Dalton Kennett pop off like that. So, yeah, so it's kind of a mix, you know, finding some fun elements of the Grizzlies season, but really trying to get into the nitty gritty of the draft with March Madness coming up, conference championships this week. So Yeah, it's like a mix of both.
Now, you brought up Luke Kennard. I want to get into Luke Kennard first because I think it's interesting. A lot of people have this narrative out there, or at least this question about Luke Kennard and his long-term fit with the Grizzlies. $14.7 million owed this offseason if they pick up the team option. That's it. That's a hefty price. But at the same time, I think I am in the boat of there's no way going into next year I think that he should be anywhere else. And it feels like Zach Kleiman's on that same boat, if you will. I just sort of look at what he does. You need to move this offense in the 21st century. He helps do that with spacing the floor and the shooting he does. But the narrative that's been created is about him in the playoffs. Where does that come from, by the way, Parker? Because Connor and I went over the stats of what he looked like. I know it was, you know, small. It's a small sample size because he's only got one playoff season in with the Grizzlies and only one series. But his playoff numbers alongside Ja and Desmond Bane, they're phenomenal. They're phenomenal. Now, obviously, you need more of a sample size. You're going to have to see that as they get into their contention window next year. But at the same time, why is that narrative there? I just find it interesting. Is it just about his defense? Like, what do you think it is?
Yeah, I mean, it's about his defense, I would say. And I know people are skeptical of, you know, putting more, I would say, players that trend negative to neutral defending. That, like, I think Luke Kennard's kind of in this boat where it's like he's more of a negative defender than a neutral, but, like, I think it's a little exaggerated to an extent. But, I mean, pairing him and Ja Morant, you kind of worry about the defense, especially as teams in the playoffs really try to mismatch hunt. But, like, at some point, you just got to look at the offense. It's like, man, the offense might be good enough where you could live with it. I mean, I want to say last season in Ja and Luke lineups, the Grizzlies had a 126 offensive rating. When it was Luke and Dez on the floor together, the regular season was like 130. And then we all saw what they did to the Los Angeles Lakers with Ja, Dez, and Luke on the floor. Like, it was incredible stuff. And also, too, I think people are kind of concerned, like, okay, can he get a shot off in the playoffs with more defensive attention? Because I wouldn't say he moves off. He's not like a J.J. Redick type off-ball mover or anything. But, like, you realize what that's doing, though. If you have a defender, think about the Lakers series, for example, last year. You had one side of the spectrum. You had Dylan Brooks, who the other team wasn't guarding. And then Luke Kennard, where the defense was airtight on him. What does that do in turn? It opens up the floor. That's what you got to do with half-court offense, especially in the playoffs, is you got to find ways to open up the floor. And this team is towards the bottom of the league in three-point shooting. And I think Luke Kennard is the only player on the roster aside from Scottie Pippen Jr. shooting 40% from three right now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just feel like it's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you can get him, like, opt out of the team option and extend for a smaller amount of salary. I just think it's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah, what do you think the likelihood of that is happening, though? Like, that's the one thing I'm curious about. Because I know these players, they want more security. So, like, a three-year, four-year deal is better than just 1 year at a high number. But what do you think the likelihood is that they can get him to opt out and get him on savings for a few more years down the line?
It's also a team option, too. So if the Grizzlies have control of whether to opt in or opt out.
Right, of course.
But, I mean, you do run the risk of, like, let's say a team like Orlando that has cap space. They're saying, hey, we're willing to give Luke Kennard 3 years, $48 million. Like, I'm just shooting from the hip here.
Right.
I don't have any insight on that. Then you're like, oh, well, shoot, we lost Luke Kennard for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's two sides of the coin to it. I mean, I can even see an opt-in and then extend after the fact.
Right.
I'm going to be very interested to see how they go about that, but just count me out of the boat of, like, trading Luke Kennard for a center. That just seems so counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. And here's the thing about, like, the playoff thought process, and you talk about defense. I think the offense could absolutely outshine it. I just look at the three guys that are part of this core, especially if they're healthy in the playoffs. You look at Ja, Jaren, and Bane. The amount of gravity they have, for a guy that could just be a nice spot-up shooter there in the corner or on the wing, and Luke Kennard, the amount of gravity they have, he will get open looks in those situations. It just feels inevitable.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's easy. In today's NBA, have as many good shooters as possible.
So. Right. Right, exactly. It's not that complicated. Now, talking with Parker Fleming at Paka_Flocka from Substack Elitist. Now, I needed you to tell me about, is Jake LaRavia making us think twice about him being a part of the roster going into next year? Because I know I was out. I know you've been like saying, oh, well, he only played 50-some-odd games. He's been hurt a lot. We haven't really gotten a chance to see what he is. But, you know, the last 5 or 6 games, he's been in double figures a whole lot. He's played some of his best basketball in his career. I don't think it's not a massive surprise because he's getting more opportunities and he's healthy at this moment. But what have you thought of Jake LaRavia lately?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just like seeing him playing, you know?
Right.
I think I saw someone say where, I want to say this is the first time in his career he's played 7 or more games consecutively. And most
That's
of
nuts.
It is due to injury, not like a DNP CD. Yeah, so like he's getting consistent playing time. I will say, I think... maybe for reasons we maybe have kind of missed a little bit on a skill set where he's not necessarily a spot up shooter, but he's more of a two way connector. You know, he's a physical defender. He can generate steals, generate deflections. He can put the ball on the floor a little bit. But I mean, I think my thing though with Jake, as far as his NBA future and whether that's in Memphis or elsewhere, his ticket to minutes will be shooting the 3-ball consistently and making it at a pretty high clip. I do think that what he's shown right now, aside from 3-point shooting, kind of reduces the margin of error if he's not this knockdown 3-point shooter. Like if he's providing enough where he can stay on NBA rosters if he's even shooting 37% from 3, because the other stuff's been pretty solid, but he just has to shoot the 3-ball better for a consistent role on a healthier team, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I just look at him, too, in general. The one thing that will always give me a hold with him is just the athleticism, right? Just the foot speed and guarding guys on the perimeter. You see him sometimes in that traffic cone, in that category,
and that
becomes tough. It feels like he's working, and you can speak to this as well, it feels like he's working at a deficit, especially on the defensive end with his athleticism, and that's always going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think his defense shines more off ball, where he can be a help defender and just kind of get into actions in that way. But, like, on the ball, I see what you're saying. I mean, he was getting worked a little bit by Josh Giddey yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's not really ever much of a great sign. But, I mean, I do think that this stretch of play from Jake LaRavia – it's incredibly encouraging to see. And maybe, like, people could be where they are. You know, people are out. I get it. People are still in. I get it. But I do think maybe, just maybe, a little bit of a jumping the gun on making, just kind of making him a scapegoat of sorts. I wouldn't even say a scapegoat, but just, like, I just think Grizzly fans maybe been, like, incredibly hard on him when the reality is, like, hey, you haven't really been able to play. So I don't know what all this is about.
Yeah, now, when we talk about Zaire and Jake, those are the guys on the outside looking in that wing rotation because of the emergence of G.G. Jackson, because of the emergence of Vince Williams Jr. Do you think either of those guys will be on the roster? And if so, who's more likely to be on the roster going into next year?
I only say Jake. I only say Jake because he's like half the cost of Zaire Williams next season. But like, Zaire Williams also has a clear fit next to John Morant.
Yeah.
Like, it's clear that Zaire does a lot better when he plays with John Morant. But at the same time, like, I feel like if you're really trying to clear the pathway for G.G. Jackson to play, it needs to come at the expense of Zaire Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're kind of neck and neck in the totem pole. We know G.G.'s been better. Zaire Williams also has a track record, and he's going to keep getting opportunities as long as he's here. Like, I feel like if you're really trying to clear the way for G.G. Jackson, it's using Zaire Williams as some sort of in his expiring contract as a trade chip to go get a veteran guy that could help in a playoff rotation in the event that, like, G.G. Jackson's used his too much for a playoff situation where Brandon Clark is not as healthy as, or not looking as, like, his pre-Achilles Brandon Clark self, or you have those playoff issues with Luke. Having that kind of Swiss Army knife veteran that you may not have to play on a game-to-game basis, but he can step in and play if needed.
Yep. Yep. Now, G.G. Jackson, how nuts is watching this kid night to night? 30 points. 30 points last night against the Thunder. Now, it was an ass-kicking. The Thunder won 124-93. But 30 points, he joins. I mean, the youngest players to ever score 30 points in a game. LeBron, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and then two guys that are on the Grizzlies roster right now, active roster, Jaren Jackson Jr. and G.G. Jackson. G.G. Jackson, listen, I still want to see him continue his progression. There are some nights he still looks like a rookie out there. But more often than not, you just see the scoring ability. And it's absolutely nuts. It pops.
Yeah, his scoring ability is crazy. I think one thing that's really cool, too, is like he's showing more of a capability of making the right read with the ball in his hands getting downhill. He even had two plays last night where he cleaned up possessions with the offensive rebound, kind of getting in there on the action there on the glass that's really needed right now for the Grizzlies. But also, too, I think the biggest thing that I saw that really stood out to me was defensively, you know, there was one with the highlight with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander cross over Lamar Stevens, but G.G. Jackson made the right read. He slid over to help on the low side and blocked SGA's floater. And, you know, that the two-way flashes are certainly interesting. I think this recent stretch before this 30-point explosion was a reminder of where G.G. Jackson's at. He's a 19-year-old rookie who still has a lot of room to grow. But, man, his two-way flashes as a scorer, he can be a complimentary guy as well with his shooting. He has some fun stuff defensively. Yet there's still so much room to grow. It's fair to speculate, like, oh, how good could G.G. Jackson be?
Mm-hmm.
Put any role out there, and you could be like, yeah, I can see that. I could see that for G.G. And I just think that 30-point game last night was an encouraging performance for him, and I'm hoping that we get a little bit more of those as we get into like the final quarter of the season.
Yeah, and you talk about making the right read. Who's been making the right read for the most part? I'd say, still had six assists in the Hawks game, but he did have his highest turnover game of the year. That would be Vince Williams Jr. He just keeps adding to the bag, man. Like, he just keeps adding to the bag. And I know he's getting more opportunities to be on ball. We have Point Vince going out there, but the assist numbers are impossible to ignore. And Taylor Jenkins, after that Hawks game, you know, stepped up to the podium and said, when we're all healthy, he'll have a little bit less usage. But at the same time, everything he provides is going to keep him on the floor consistently.
Yeah. I mean, that's where my mind immediately went to when I was watching the game against the Hawks. Because this is now like a two-month sample size of Vince Williams being like a legitimate high-level playmaker and orchestrating an offense, and he's seeing all these different coverages of like defenses are keying in on him,
right?
Like he's a primary guy, and he's still doing an excellent job making these reads. He's adding some sauce on these reads as well. And you know, I think when we're getting to the point of like, okay, what's he going to look like with the lower usage? What does Desmond Bane, John Morant, and Marcus Smart back into the fold? He's really filling and rounding out this skill set of what the Grizzlies have been chasing. Uh-huh. A 3-and-D wing that could be a connective piece on the floor and really amplify the big three. Because what I'm seeing is, you know, let's say you have John Morant or Desmond Bane driving. They take out the Vince Williams. If the defense doesn't close too hard, it's a catch-and-shoot three.
Yep.
If not, they close out. He puts the ball on the floor. The defense tilts again. Next thing you know, Vince Williams is making that other read. Let's say Desmond Bane, weak side corner, catch and shoot three. That's the kind of stuff that boosts a half-court offense, is having as many players on the floor that can make high-level decisions. And Vince Williams has really grown in that regard since Desmond Bane's gone down. I mean, I think you can kind of make a 1A, 1B of like when you're talking about skill set developments this season. Vince's playmaking has to be like a 1A, 1B with the emergence of G.G. Jackson. It's just been unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Vince Williams Jr., I know people will tell me to, you know, press the brakes, calm down at least a little bit. I see this guy as almost about as good as you could ask for as a fifth starter next to a fully healthy Grizzlies team. If you add the big and do all that like you're supposed to this offseason, he feels like just the perfect starter next to these guys. Now, again, I understand we've talked about it in the past. Marcus Smart's going to get that first crack at it. But Vince Williams Jr., he does not take any extra shots when he's playing with those type of guys on the floor. And you just mentioned it, whether it's catch and shoot from three or getting off the bounce, finding teammates, it just feels like he would be the perfect complementary piece. And the defense he plays, him and Jaren on the floor at the same time, I love the thought of that. And then Marcus Smart off the bench is like a super six man. That does excite me to a certain extent.
Yeah, and I mean, if you really think of like a traditional 10-man rotation, because, I mean, I've always said, you know, when people put out their bench score, I'm like, that's so overrated to me because you are going to be staggering your lineups. You're going to have lineups with Ja without Bane and Jaren or Bane and Jaren without Ja. But, like, if you have, like, Ja, Bane, Vince, Jaren, insert center, and then Smart, Kennard, Gigi, Santi, BC, that's a very clean 10-man rotation in a 10-man rotation that could still kind of remind people that this is a team to be a force in the Western Conference.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, because I know that, like, we've talked about this year being a potential blessing in disguise because you saw the shortcomings with your roster and the misses you had on guys like Jake LaRavia and Zaire. And I don't think David Roddy was ever in that conversation, but you trade him off. But I want to ask you this. If they were healthy and Steven Adams was on this team and they didn't have this miserable injury look, where do you think they'd be in the Western Conference? Because you've had the emergence of the Thunder and the Timberwolves. The Nuggets are still unreal. The Clippers are healthy and great. The Pelicans have been very solid this year with Zion staying healthy. The Suns are there. Kings, they've been sort of pacing their way through the Western Conference, but they're still solid. Mavs have been better. Like, where do you think the Grizzlies at full strength would have actually fit into this playoff picture?
Ah, man. That's
super tough. Super, I get it, but it's like...
This Western Conference is really good. I mean, it's one of those... So you're saying everyone's healthy except for Brandon Clark?
Yes, basically. That's if I'm asking that question. And still, obviously, okay. Ja would have had to be out for 25 games.
Are we still under the assumption that Vince Williams Jr. emerges into the rotation?
That would be a big one, and I don't know if he would if the opportunities wouldn't have been there. The opportunities probably would not have been there as much.
Yeah, I think probably because you had – let's be real. There was a feeling out process from a playmaking standpoint in the first 10 to 12 games, even with Marcus Smart, because I think him and – Zaire Williams in the lineup, they were just turning the ball over all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now they would probably be, they would be out of the, like above the play-in by a little margin. So like, I think they'd be in that same territory where like
Suns and Pelicans
are right now.
Yeah.
I think they'd be about 5 or 6.
Yeah, but it's interesting though, like going into this year, seeing the addition of Marcus Smart, if everything would have been healthy, I think that, I'm not saying fans would be super disappointed by it, but it wouldn't be like you wouldn't feel great about where the Grizzlies were if they were in that 5-6 spot, even at full strength. So, it goes back to the conversation of blessing in disguise, of finding your shortcomings and trying to fix them this offseason.
Exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, you got a really deeper look at it. And granted, I mean, I think that even Zach Lyman said this, like, guys were thrusted into these different roles because all your injuries were with your guards and your bigs. So your wings, you know, your Zaire Williams, your David Roddy's of the world had to play different roles because those spots and those roles had to be filled. And, you know, that could either make or break development to an extent and really kind of hurt, in the grand scheme of things, it hurts the wins and loss columns as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, last thing, I want you to holler at me about your NBA draft targets. Who do you like there at the top with where the Grizzlies could be, sort of 5, 6, 7, whatever it is? Who do you like there at the top, and what do you think sort of the best plan of action is? I've discussed sort of potentially trading back, finding a center with a trade, and then drafting another one later in the first round. What do you think the best plan of action is, and who are your guys?
Okay, so I'll say worst plan one is if you can take the salary of the any of the guys in that, like, roster spot 10 and down and use the pick to go get another guy and trade down and just draft that player available. Cool. Do that. But I also am getting very close. And I think this team's going to make a deep run to where this case won't sound as outlandish, but part of me is just like, just take Donovan playing in a total defense.
Right.
That dude is massive, and he's a force, man.
Right.
Like, he is an absolute force. I don't have the exact stats in front of me right now, but some of his rim protection numbers are just special. And I really think that he can amplify that fit next to Jaren Jackson Jr. as a 4-5 combo. And he's a guy that you can throw at these big bodies and alleviate that pressure off Jaren Jackson Jr. He's just so freaking productive. Even if he's not playing 30-plus minutes, he's so productive on a permanent basis.
Yeah.
As on up into the floor, I just don't want them. It's a no-brainer kind of move given the Grizzlies' fit, in my opinion.
The only thing they're going to have to do your homework on the medicals and his feet and his foot.
Yes, that's exactly. It. Yes. For sure.
Yeah. But if that comes back bad, would Kyle Filipowski be there? Like, who also would be in that discussion?
So option C. Option C, I mean, maybe best player available at that point. I mean, I still really like Ron Holland. But at that point, if the medicals don't check out, I would rather just trade down, see if a team in that range has a center or a wing. And that way you can target, you can go after Eve Missy or Johnny Furphy, Dalton Kennett, one of those guys. Mm-hmm. But so that's option C.
Yeah.
Just trade down and go get a guy like that.
Yeah,
guys like that. Excuse me.
Yeah, but we'll have time to sort of figure this out. Still some games in the regular season that we need to watch and see how these guys come along development-wise. And by the way, Dejan Giroux is such a Grizzlies guy, isn't he? On the 10-day contract. It was funny.
Man.
I was talking to Connor about it on Friday. I was talking about Houston and Kelvin Sampson, and I was talking about some of the guys he brought in. Dejan Giroux, I mentioned he was a 3-star recruit, and I was, praising Kelvin Sampson for finding that guy and developing him. And, of course, he signs a 10-day over the weekend with the Grizzlies. And he is just like, rebounding. He knocked down a 3-ball last night. Like, this guy, it's fun to watch, even on a 10-day, a guy that seems to fit the exact culture of what the Grizzlies have always tried to build.
Yeah, I watched him play against in one of the Ignite games. He's so fun. He's such a funky ball handler, just funky guard, man. And he just does it in all the areas. I'm glad that he got rewarded with a 10-day. Very much deserved.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Parker, I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, Gabe. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. That is Parker Fleming at @Paka_Flocka.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.